passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
The phone.
Oh, sure.
Hello? No, Mrs. Wakefield isn't in. Well, you just happened to call at the wrong time. Who is this, please? Well, I can't leave a message unless you give me your name. I'm sorry. You're welcome.
Ooh, what was that all about?
The man has been calling Kate for the past few days.
How romantic.
It is not romantic at all. In fact, it's become rather unpleasant.
What did he want?
You heard it all. Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Kate's downtown. I think she's having lunch at that new Chinese place.
Oh, I sort of made a mess of things that day I went into the city with her. I just wanted to tell her I'm sorry.
Oh?
Hey, when does she go into town for good?
Well, her job starts Monday, but she's going in tomorrow to find a place to live.
Wow, then I've got to see her. Wow, that's a super picture of her husband, Tom.
Yes. Yes, that was painted when Tom was 21. 4 years before he died.
I remember he was gorgeous.
At that time.
So sad. But how does a girl know? I mean, you flip for a guy, but how do you know what he's really going to be like? I mean, you shouldn't marry him until you do. If Kate had just lived with him without getting all tied up and married...
I'm afraid Belhaven wasn't quite ready for that, dear. Nor was Kate.
But don't you think it makes sense?
It's woman's oldest problem, my dear. We'll have lunch and talk about it someday, shall we?
Right.
Now, if you will excuse me, dear.
Oh, right. Well, I'll see you later on, Isabel. Mm. Bye.
Henry, Isabel, that man called again for Kate. He's becoming quite disagreeable.
Everything all right?
Oh, yes, fine.
You've hardly touched your spirit, David.
Well, I can't say that you're digging in, Kate.
Well, I'm not very hungry. I've already had an egg roll with Pat before you came in.
You know, we ought to be able to talk this out, you and I, without your getting so uptight.
Oh, it's my fault now.
I'm just a simple friend of guy asking you to do something for Henry.
Which isn't very simple. Why doesn't Henry ask me to do this himself?
Well, he thinks that I have some mysterious power over women.
Oh, you have, David. Only this isn't the time.
Or the woman.
Oh.
Okay, I'll tell Henry you won't postpone taking that city job for anyone.
I didn't say that. I said if I postponed it, I could lose it, so I'd have to know the real reason.
I told you.
You said it had something to do with Tom. When I ask what, you clam up.
Because I don't know. All I do know is that it has something to do with those phone calls you've been getting.
Oh, David, Henry doesn't really think I'd risk losing my new job because somebody's making spooky phone calls. I'll be home and answer myself one of these times, and then I'll know what it's all about. I'm not afraid to talk to him. If he knew Tom, I want to talk to him. Oh, David, much as I love Henry, he's behaving exactly like Tom's father. When I was married to Tom, Dad Wakefield ran everything. I had to find out for myself that Tom had been on drugs before we were married, and then took it up again after we were married. And when Tom had that awful accident in North Falls, I was kept completely out of it. I don't know to this day how Tom got out of it or what really happened. Dad Wakefield wouldn't even allow it to be discussed. Well, David, those days are just over.
I hope so, honey.
Well, if everybody would just let them be.
God knows, Kate, that's what I want. So, I'll tell Henry.
No, thank you. Thank you, David, but I'll tell him.
Hi.
Hey, Nancy. Hello.
Oh, I didn't know you had a date. Hi.
David.
Hello, Sparkplug. Am I the invisible man?
No, I didn't see you on that side of the booth.
Wait till I take you to lunch, young woman. You'll know I'm there.
Now you're making me into a sex symbol.
Oh, my God.
But I'll go with you, David, because you're going to be so lonesome. Huh? Aren't you after Kate goes?
He's the most popular man in Bellhaven, Nancy.
I've got to get back to the office. Check, where? You two girls fight over me. I'll give Henry your message, Kate, with all the trimming.
Thanks. And thanks for lunch, David. It was nice.
Hey, he looked mad. Did I say anything?
No, it's all right, Nancy.
You should worry. Oh. If I had an unknown man calling me, I'd never look at the home talent.
What unknown man?
I don't know. Isabel took the message. Whoever it was, he sure ticked her off. Hey, listen, Kate, I had this super idea. Do you know where you're going to live yet in the city?
No, I've got to find someplace tomorrow.
Well, what about the Studio Club?
Well, could I get a room there?
Sure, anybody can get a room there. It'd be groovy, near the campus, lots of action, absolutely no rules. You can have anybody in your room all night if you want.
That's certainly being up to date.
Now, don't sound like Mom, Kate. That's just the way it is.
Have you decided what you're going to do, Nancy?
Well, I'm not going back to college, that's for sure. Guess I'll be around Bellhaven for a while until I can get my head together. Hey, Kate, who do you think the guy is who's calling you?
I have no idea.
Will you tell me?
If I ever find out.
But don't you want to find out?
You bet I do.
Hello, Jenny. Gas and oil. But I can wait.
Oh, you don't have to. I'm free.
Oh, you're handling the pump?
Sure, why not? Don't you believe in liberated women?
I not only believe in them, I surrendered to them some 60 years ago.
You're putting me on. Hey, Mr. Slater, is the Wakefield house for sale?
Where'd you get that idea?
Well, a guy drove in here asking about it yesterday.
Yeah?
Yes, a lot of other questions, too.
Like what?
Oh, who was living in it, how big it was.
What'd you tell him?
Nothing. Kate Wakefield's always been great to me. I'm not talking about it.
Good for you. What did this man look like?
Sort of thin, reddish hair. Mm-hmm. I don't know, he talked okay, but he only bought $2 of gas.
Had you seen him before?
Nope. I noticed he had a Nevada license plate.
Smart girl. You'll go far, Jenny.
Thanks, Mr. Slater.
I am glad to see you.
When did that call come for Kate, Isabel?
It was about lunchtime. Mm. The man was quite unpleasant this time. Well, his language was polite enough, but it was his tone.
Yeah.
He is determined to talk to Kate. Now, if it is that ex-lawyer...
It's Stephen Wolfe, all right. He's even been around asking questions.
Well, if it's money he's after, he's barking up the wrong tree. Arthur's estate wasn't quite what people think.
It's not that simple. What I want to prevent is his latching on to Kate.
Latching?
Isabel, there are some things about Tom's life that Kate doesn't know. And if I can help it, she never will know. All I'm asking her is to postpone going into the city for a while.
Why?
While she's in Bellhaven, we have some chance of locating Wolf.
Well, has she agreed?
Well, she's a sweet, sensible girl.
Hi.
I think she'll agree.
Oh. Hello, dear.
Oh, hello, Henry.
How are you, my dear?
Did you have a busy day, Kate?
I had an upsetting day.
Oh?
And since you're here, Henry, I'd better say why.
Mm-hmm.
In the first place, I wish you had talked to me directly and not asked David. Mm. He watched the whole business.
What business?
I'll tell you. In the second place, I can't postpone my job, Henry, dear, or I'll lose it.
Kate, my dear, listen to me.
And in the third place, if this man who's calling wants to talk to me so much, I'm quite willing to talk to him.
He's a disbarred lawyer. Arthur Wakefield hired him to defend Tom. He's not fit for you.
That's sweet, Henry, but if he knew my husband, if he helped Tom in any way, I want to meet him.
Mystery meet again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. the only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
Your devoted author has done you a great service. I spared you dinner this night at Queen's Crawley. Our poor Rebecca Sharp was not spared. One would think at her very first meal, Sir Pitt and Young Pitt would refrain from their nightly arguments. Lady Crawley not weep into her boiled mutton. And the little girls, at the very least, mind their manners. Alas, alas, no. It is now a few minutes before 10. Becky has just escaped the dreary household and returned to her room, where her servant maid awaits her.
Up so late, John?
Well, Miss Becky, I'd not go till you bid me go.
Never?
Why, no, miss.
No matter how tired or sleepy or cross?
No, miss.
Nor if I'd be mean and hard-headed and cross?
My place is here till you've no more need of me. After you train me to your ways.
Oh, alas, I fear you need to train me.
Beg pardon?
Oh, come now, don't pretend with me, Giles. You've guessed I never before had a maid. Now, here you are waiting, and I can't think of a single thing to ask you to do. Proper lady would think of a dozen.
Don't say you're not a proper lady. I've done what you'd have told me had you come sooner. Giles, turn down the bed. Giles, lay out my night things. A jug of barley water side my bed. Pull the draperies for keeping out the morning light. Now, you'd have thought of all that, miss.
Would I?
And now it's certain you're thinking, Giles, brush my hair.
Yes, of course. Indeed, certainly. Giles, brush my hair.
Well, I've the brush already.
And I'm sitting. I'm almost sitting. Now sitting at the dressing table. Brush.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Think you Queen Elizabeth sat here?
Oh, yes. And her maid brushing her hair. Oh, not pretty hair like yours, I'm sure. It's all golden ringlets.
I would if we were all flaming red like yours.
Oh, you'd have a temper then like mine.
I've one without red hair to excuse it, and almost lost it at dinner.
Oh, what a dreadful meal. I was afraid of that.
Oh, it began with an endless long grace from Mr. Pitt. And then Sir Pitt howled, Amen. And that's the last godly thought the two of them had.
Oh, I know how it is at meals. Sometimes I've waited table.
Oh, Sir Pitt complained about the soup. And the little girls, of course, wouldn't eat it. And Lady Crawley cried as if it was all her fault. And young Pitt delivered a long sermon on waste not, want not. And I could hardly eat a mouthful myself, especially the horrid mutton when Sir Pitt talked and talked about
slaughtering the sheep. And all the while, him and young Mr. Pitt quarreling.
Yes, yes, and no one spoke to me at all. I was sure I'd made friends with them. I thought they liked me, but they didn't know I was so much as there.
Oh, it's just their way, Miss Becky. They are used to having you. They don't mean nothing.
Well, it means something to me. That is enough brushing, Giles. Oh.
Thank you. And you may go to bed now.
Oh, there ain't nothing else?
No, thank you. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Put out the writing things, please. I'll write to dear Amelia.
Oh, well, the quill and ink and paper is all laid out on the desk. I thought you might be wanting to write a letter.
You're a good girl. Go along now. You're sleepy, I'm sure. Good night.
Oh, good night, miss. And sleep snug in Her Majesty's bed. Might I say a word more, Miss Becky?
Yes.
I'm proud to serve you, ma'am, and very grateful. Good night.
I'm proud to have you, Giles. And lucky. Lucky in this cold, cold house. Green ink, oh, my man. And a pretty green quill. My dearest, sweetest Amelia, with what mingled joy and sorrow do I take up the pen to write, my dear friend. Oh, what a change between yesterday and today. Yesterday, I was in your sweet company. Today, I'm alone in a strange place with strangers. What silly girls we were to imagine Sir Pitt would be like baronets in romantic novels. He's a stumpy, disreputable old party, fond of drink and swearing, and the servants call him Old Screw, which means a very stingy person. I'm told he is tipsy every night, and sometimes...
Sharp! Miss Rebecca Sharp!
Sir Pitt! Well, I didn't hear anyone say come in.
I said... I said...
In your nightcap... And nightshirt.
So I am. And you with your hair down, all pretty.
You will leave the Queen's bedchamber at once, sir.
Do no such of a thing, Miss High and Mighty. You ain't the Queen, my dear. You be the governess.
An agent Satyr at the door... Satyr in nightcap? Cap and bells would suit him better. Symbol of a court fool.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Datril. I compared labels. Datril has no aspirin, either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Datril can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Datril. New from Bristol-Myers.
What has emboldened Sir Pitt to enter Becky's room? Brandy? Her smiles this day. Both? Let it be said, and quickly, that Becky's smiling never intended this, an old baronet reeling without a by your leave into her room.
Sir Pitt, what are you doing?
Taking your candle, Miss Sharp.
What?
It's gone 10 o'clock. No candles permitted after 10. A candle saved is the penny earned.
And I thought...
Not to laugh, miss. No laughing matter. Money not to be thrown away in this house. In bed by 10, Miss Goodness, or sit you in the dark. There. matches blowed out. Go now to bed in the dark, you pretty little hussy.
Sir Pitt, shame to call the teacher of your children by so detestable a name.
I didn't mean nothing. Twas only...
Only indeed. I am mortally offended, and I'll thank you for an apology, or I won't be the teacher of your children. I'll leave Queen's Crawley this very night, though I have to go on foot.
Oh, you'd not do that, Miss Rebecca. Say you'd not.
I would. I shall. Unless you apologize before another word is uttered.
I do. Oh, I spoke in terrible haste. I meant no harm. Say you'll forgive me. Say it.
I don't know yet. The very idea of blowing out my candle. And how ridiculous. The two of us in the dark like a hobgoblin. Light it at once.
I've got no flint in me night, sir.
And no coals in the grate. Where on earth is your own candle?
Don't burn candles myself after 10 o'clock. A candle saved is...
I don't want to hear that nonsense again.
Miss Betty, I'll fetch you another. I'll go this minute.
Oh, never mind. Oh, great heavens. Someone with a candle is coming far down the hall. And what, pray, will he, she, or it think of us alone in the dark? And you in your nightshirt.
Kind listeners, enough. A most regrettable situation, and no fault of Becky Sharp's. We shall learn whomever it may be approaching along the corridor, and ask that you witness tomorrow his, her, or its identity. Your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today is... has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Hello, Miss Perkins.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Baxter.
Is my husband busy?
I'll tell him you're here.
All right, fine.
Mr. Baxter, Mrs. Baxter's here. He'll be right with you. How have you been, Mrs. Baxter?
Oh, fine, fine. And you, Miss Perkins?
Oh, I keep going. I don't complain, but my knee still bothers me, you know, from slipping on the ice last winter.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, and, of course, my sinus trouble. Well, I've just learned to live with it, that's all. I think you just learn to live with things, don't you?
Yes, yes.
The doctor thinks a lot of it has to do with my allergies. I can't eat this and I can't eat that. I had one little bite of chocolate the other day and just broke out in these terrible hives.
Oh, dear, how awful for
you. Hi, dear. Come into my office, said the spider to the fly.
Nice to talk to you, Miss Perkins. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Oh, your secretary and her ailments. How do you stand it?
I don't listen anymore.
Wouldn't you think these people who complain all the time would realize that nobody really cares about your sinus trouble, your allergies? You know, this constant bid for sympathy.
Well, Miss Perkins lives alone. Probably has too much time to worry about herself.
Well, I suppose, poor dear. Well, anyhow, I've got a little shopping to do. I've got a ride into town with Evie today, but she's meeting Fred, and I thought maybe I'd get a ride home with you.
Fine.
Okay.
Meet me back here at the office?
No, I'll have some packages and lots of places to go. I did pick me up outside the department store. The main entrance, say 5:30?
But there's no place to park
there. You don't have to park, dear. Be there promptly at 5:30, and I'll be looking for you. Just double park, and I'll just dash out and jump into the car.
Look, I know you.
I'll be there.
You are always late.
I will be there. Now, don't worry. It's 3:30 now, and I have loads of time to shop, and I know exactly what I want.
It's against the law to double park there. If I have to wait even 1 minute, I'll get a ticket if the cop sees me, and there's always a cop at that corner.
I'll be there ahead of you, right in the main entrance. I'll be looking for you. I will be waiting for you.
You'd better be. 5:30 sharp.
5:30 sharp.
Now, I mean it. Don't you keep me waiting. I cannot double park in front of that department store.
Okay. What do you think you're doing?
Well, I've just been here a few minutes, officer. My wife was supposed to be at the main entrance to the store here.
You see that sign? Big letters. No double parking here at any time.
Yes. I see that, and I know that. I told my wife.
You realize that when you double park like this, the cars have to go around you, which slows down everybody, holding up the traffic not only at this corner, also the next corner and the next, all the way down the street.
Yes, I realize that. I just wish you were telling these things to my wife. She's the one who's late.
You're the one who's double-parked. Let's see your license.
Okay, just a minute.
I don't understand why you and people like you have no respect either for the law or for other drivers.
I do have respect for the law, officer. My wife said she'd be here promptly at 5:30. I should just drive up and she'd jump in the car. I told her I couldn't double park.
Driver's license.
Come on here.
I don't see why guys like you put the blame on your wives. If you can read that sign and you know the law, then you know there's no excuse for double parking, right?
Right.
Okay, I suggest after this you pull into some parking lot. There's one right in back of the department store here. And then you walk back. You wait outside the entrance for your wife. A parking meter's a lot cheaper than the fine for double parking.
Yes, sir.
All right, here's your lights. Now get this car out of here!
Speaking to me, are you?
I'm speaking to you. I'm going to have plenty to say.
Now, let me tell you what happened.
I don't want to hear what happened. You are always late.
Put the paper down and listen to me. Oh, my feet are killing me. I ran all over shopping.
I'll put the paper down, but you listen to me. Weren't you going to be right there at the entrance at 5:30 sharp? I double parked, got a ticket, then parked the car, walked back, stood in that entrance to the department store for 45 minutes, and I finally gave up at 6:20.
I missed you by 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I got there at exactly 6:22.
Sure.
I did. When you weren't there, I figured you got mad and came home. So I knew where Evie and Fred were having dinner, and I went to the hearth side. They invited me to eat with them, which I did, and they gave me a ride home. And I called home, and I told Debbie
that. Yeah, I know. She told me when I got here.
Did you get any dinner?
Yes. Debbie fixed me some overdone hamburgers, her specialty.
Well, I'm sorry. Look, I really am sorry, darling. I know you're mad.
Actually, I am not mad. I'm just fed up.
Let me tell you the reason I was late.
I don't want to hear the reason. I don't. I'm not mad at you. I'm just tired of always waiting for you. You are always late. Always. Always keeping other people waiting.
Well, I don't do it deliberately. Anyhow, I'm not always late.
All right, all right. 90% of the time. There seem to be two kinds of people. Those who are always on time or even ahead of time, and those who are always late. And they seem to think it's cute.
Oh, cute. I don't
yes, yes, oh, I've heard you say so.
Oh.
In this kittenish way. Oh, I'm always late. I just cannot get places on time. I guess it's the way I am, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Oh, I don't say it like that.
And there are thousands, millions probably, of people just like you. You keep all the rest of us who are on time waiting.
You've been late to things.
Yes, yes, everyone has. But at least I make an effort to be on time.
I make an effort.
You've kept me waiting. You keep your friends waiting when you're supposed to meet them for lunch or something. When we catch a train or a plane, we just barely make it. When we've been on sightseeing tours, on trips, the whole busload of people have kept waiting while you've dashed in someplace to get postcards or stamps. And I think, if nothing else, it's rude.
Well... yes.
It is inconsiderate to keep people waiting, and nobody likes to be kept waiting. It is unfair to waste other people's time.
Yes, well, that's true. Well, you're right. I do try. I can't seem to get places on time. I think I don't get started in time.
Well,
you know
don't
I mean?
Start to get started in time. You misjudge how long it's going to take you to get ready, and at the last minute you have everyone going crazy, and you're hysterical.
Yes, you're right. You're right. You are. I
fired two secretaries for always being late and giving more trumped-up excuses.
My excuse isn't trumped up. Could I just tell you? Please?
All right.
Please?
All right. All right. Let's hear it. It's going to be something really nutty.
Listen now. Just listen to
me. It is. People are always late, run out of excuses, and they have to begin getting really imaginative reasons and excuses.
I was on the fifth floor of the store, and I couldn't come down and meet you because I only had on one shoe.
You only had one shoe on?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I like that. That's a good one. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. How'd you dream that one up?
That is the truth. I was trying to match a pair of sandals that I just love. These ones I had on. And the clerk took my one shoe and said he'd check in the stockroom. They didn't have it, and he gave a boy the sandal and told him to check with the shoe department in the basement. And there I was, waiting for him to come back. I couldn't come down in the elevator and walk into the street with one shoe on. All right, don't believe it.
Oh, I do. I believe it. Only to you this would happen. And to me.
And here's your present. Only it isn't gift-wrapped.
Present? For what?
Well, it's a belated birthday present that I ordered, and it just came in. A brown leather picture frame you wanted for my picture on your desk. I spent an hour and a half this afternoon going everywhere to Hale's on 7th Street, Lawler's Leather Shop way over on Rice Street, finally back to Jackson's, and they said they had nothing but maroon and green leather frames, and then in desperation to Richmond's, where I'd first ordered it, and they said last week they probably wouldn't get it in, but today they said yes, Mrs. Baxter came in. So there it is. You might at least open the box and see if you like it.
Oh, boy, you really know how to take the wind out of somebody's sails, don't you?
Open it. Come on. Oh, here. Do you like it, huh? Is it what you wanted?
Oh, huh? Yes. Yes, it's perfect. It's perfect. Thank you.
Of course, maybe now you don't want my picture on your desk.
Oh, come here.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I kept you waiting. I feel awful, and from now on, really, I'll try to be better.
Oh,
I really will.
Please do try, sweetheart.
I will. I swear to you, I will. I really will. Elaine!
What?
Elaine and Carl, we're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock to play bridge with them tonight. I completely forgot.
Well, wait a minute. It's 8:30 now.
Well, you get it. You get it. Tell them I'm sorry we're late. I'll just comb my hair fresh enough.
What's the use?
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once. before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch and directed by Warren Somerville and has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by the O'Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
You certainly are looking better, Mrs. Carter.
Oh, thank you. And I think I am. That monster headache has gone right back into its cave. Feels good just to walk around this hospital room.
Would you like these files on the chest or the windowsill?
Well, they are imposing, aren't they? Maybe the floor would be better. Well, was there a card?
Oh, yes. Here it is.
Thank you. I'll bet they're from my father-in-law. Robert Carter, best wishes for a speedy recovery. Dear Robert, if I only knew what I'm supposed to recover from, I'd oblige him. Come in. Susie. Oh, honey, come here and let me hug you.
How are you, Mom?
Oh, darling, Miss Bowman, this is my daughter, Susie.
How do you do?
Oh, it's nice to see you, Susie. I'll be getting back to the desk, Miss Carter, if you need anything.
No, I'm fine, thank you. Susie can see to me, can't you, honey?
Oh, yes. Maybe you ought to get back in the bed.
Oh, 5 minutes more.
All right, then.
I brought you some cookies I made.
Oh, honey. Oh, I've missed you. Hey, they look great. I'll have some with my afternoon tea.
Oh, Mom. Daddy said you'd be home soon.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow or the day after.
Well, did they find out why you have those headaches?
I don't think so, honey. If they have, they're keeping it quiet.
Do you still have them?
No, not nearly as often. And I think they've toned down. Now, tell me, did you get some new shoes?
Well, I'm going shopping this afternoon.
I wish I could go with you.
I'll be careful, I promise.
Oh, I didn't mean that, honey. I'd just like to spend the afternoon with you.
Well, we're going to have things all ready for you at home when you get there.
Now, you have to be thinking about school soon, Susie. I don't want you to have to worry about me.
Oh, Susie, I didn't know you were here. We could have come in together if I'd known.
Well, how is my happy home going, Angela?
Oh, very well. Isn't it, Susie?
Oh, yes. But we miss you.
Well, we're so lucky to have your Aunt Angela, aren't we?
Well, sometimes I think I get in Susie's way.
Oh, no, Aunt Angela. That's not it. I mean, we all think you're great to help out.
Have you heard, Angela, when you medical types think I'm fit to be freed?
Nothing definite, but it won't be long now.
Oh, Angela, when I'm home on my own territory, I don't think I'll ever give you a direct answer again.
Don't you think I deserve a direct answer, Marsh?
Jason, you know everything I know. I've only told you what I know for a fact. I don't think I have a right to burden you with my speculation.
Well, I have to know what's in your mind, Marsh.
Well, right now, there does seem to be a remission of Emily's headaches. But let's just see what develops after she goes home.
What about consulting someone else?
Well, I've thought of that. If she has to come back, I think we should call in Szabo.
The neurologist?
Well, he's the only one I know of.
Marsh, as Emily said, all the negatives of the test should add up to a positive.
Well, Jason, I wish it were so, but if she has to come back, we'll have to do a brain scan, for example.
Yes, of course.
I would have done one earlier, but, well, she seems to be symptom-free.
Hmm. Marsh, do you think she should resume her studies?
Well, sure, that's right. She's going for a degree, isn't she?
Yes, in child psychology.
If she's able to. I think for at least 2 weeks she should take it easy. Then we'll probably have a better idea as to whether the symptoms have been physical or emotional.
Oh, come on, Marsh. Emily is as level-headed as they come.
Jason, listen. It won't be the first time a woman has resorted to producing physical symptoms to gain attention from her family.
Emily, not a chance.
All right, we'll see. In the meantime, why don't you consider or at least begin to think of having her see a psychiatrist?
Marsh, Emily is not your usual neurotic wife who has to stage fading spells in the approved Victorian manner just to get attention.
Yes, but she might not know what she's doing or why. We shouldn't rule out at least one session with a psychiatrist.
Maybe you won't rule it out, Marsh. But I bet she will.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Daytrol. I compared labels. Daytrol has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Daytrol can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Daytrol, new from Bristol-Myers.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oseeder makes your life easier.
Well, Daddy, Swiss cheese or liverwurst?
Let's be daring and have some of each.
White or rye?
Susie, I refuse to make any major decisions. I leave it all to you. Is there any whole wheat bread?
Huh? Yes, but it's with raisins.
Oh, well, let's go back to your basic rye.
You know, Mom's sure looking forward to getting home.
You know, I wonder why I ever became a doctor. Everybody wants to get away from them.
Doesn't Dr. Foster know what's wrong with Mom? I mean, really?
Really, he doesn't, honey.
Aunt Angela isn't going to be staying on here after Mom comes home, is she?
Well, I think she will for a little while. Any reason why not?
Well, she's already done a lot for us, and we can manage without her.
Susie, she's always been an important part of the family. Why are you now so...
We're more grown up now, Daddy. And doesn't Aunt Angela want to live her own life? I think taking care of us kids is a real drag on her.
Only if she's made to feel that she's not welcome.
I didn't mean it that way, Daddy. That...
Susie, something's on your mind.
Betsy and I were talking yesterday.
Oh? Is it something you want to tell me?
I don't know for sure. Betsy says her mother and father fight all the time.
Yeah, that must be very tough for her. I'm sure she needs a good friend she can talk to.
And they fight about Aunt Angela.
Go on.
Betsy said her mother thinks her father is...
You see, too much of your aunt?
Well, she says her mother thinks he makes out with all the nurses.
Makes out? Is that what you call it?
Oh, Daddy, you know what I mean.
I'm sorry Betsy's been put in the middle on this. I imagine it must be hard on her, but you know your Aunt Angela, and there's no reason for you to believe such stories about her. Whatever misunderstanding there is, I'm sure it's not her fault.
I told Betsy I didn't believe it.
Well, for that very reason, not to mention others. You mustn't repeat this story to anyone, Susie.
I won't, Daddy. Anyway, Mrs. Foster doesn't want Betsy to come over here while Aunt Angela's staying with us.
Well, what do you think we should do? Go along with that? And ask her to leave?
Oh, no, Daddy. That just wouldn't be fair.
Well, Marsh, I think everything's in this folder, and the review committee on operations will be meeting next week.
Oh, thanks for helping on this, Angela. I think an updating of our procedures will finally get those dinosaurs to creep a little faster.
Anything more on Emily?
No, no. The lumbar puncture revealed nothing, as I think you probably know.
She's putting up a good front, but I think she's worried.
Well, I'm going to send her home with medication for the headaches, and then we'll just have to wait and see. Say, it's lunchtime. How about Riley's Ranch?
Oh, I don't think so.
They serve only the best second-grade food. Just so our interns don't get spoiled.
I have to get something done, Marsh. Some shopping.
You mean no lunch?
I don't think it's a good idea.
Why not? We have lunch together all the time.
Yes, maybe that's what's wrong.
Angela, has somebody said something?
I guess she didn't say anything to you then.
Ginger?
Hmm. She was over picking up Betsy the other day and we met. And I guess you could say we talked.
No, she hasn't said anything.
Considering what she unloaded on me, I guess there wasn't too much left for you.
Oh. What did she say?
I'm afraid she thinks I'm out to take you, quote, away from her.
Oh, a poor thing but her own, right?
Marsh, look. She really does care for you.
Then wouldn't you think she could trust me?
She seems determined. And somehow bitter, I suppose. Hinting that she'd been through something like this before.
Oh, no, no. Not that again.
I remember when I was younger, I always thought being a femme fatale would be fun, but now I'm not quite so sure.
You're being very understanding about this.
Maybe I am, but I wonder if I'm being very helpful.
Woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
The programs of the Radio Playhouse have returned dramatic stories to daytime radio, and we'd like to know how our listeners feel about this new series, for after all, they're meant for your enjoyment. Won't you tell us your reaction, what you like and what you don't? Whether you think daytime drama is a good idea or not? Should there be more of it in the future? Write us at To Have and To Hold, 345 Park Avenue, New York, New York, 10022, or your local station. Your letters are our best way of knowing what you like. And To Hold has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.